Athens and Corinth, Acts 17:15 to 18:22. The boat brought Paul to Athens, which was the center of philosophical, economic, and political innovation in the Roman Empire. Paul then sent a message back to Silas and Timothy requesting them to join him in southern Greece. While Paul was waiting for them to join him, the Creator Spirit caused him to become irritated at how Athens was centered on arrogantly trusting in human intelligence, wisdom, and technology. In response, Paul began spending every day in the synagogue addressing those devoted to the Jerusalem temple, and then anyone who would listen in the public gathering places. Paul came across some Epicurean philosophers who believed that the divine was completely separate from the material world. He also encountered some Stoic philosophers who believed that the divine is one and the same as the material world. These philosophers gathered to listen to and talk with Paul. In response to hearing Paul's declaration of the Creator's rule through Jesus and the resurrection of the dead, some of them said, "What on earth is this guy teaching?" And others said, "Like Socrates, whom we killed, he is announcing outside ideas that challenge everything we hold dear." So they arrested Paul and brought him before the Mars Hill Council, which was in charge of overseeing trials of capital punishment, saying, "We have the right to know this new way of life you are teaching. You are a guest in our city and are trying to persuade us with your ideas, so tell us exactly what you are saying." All the residents and visitors of Athens would spend their free time discussing the latest ideas of politics and economics. So standing in the middle of the Mars Hill Council, Paul said, "Men of Athens, I see that you have great respect for all world views, ideologies, and spiritual forces. While observing your city and your sacred things, I even found a place where it is written, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, I am not announcing new things to you, I am simply revealing what you already revere unknowingly. The one who created the earth and everything in it is the true Lord. He alone owns all heaven and earth, and therefore does not dwell in things made by human hands. He needs nothing from humans and cannot be controlled by them. He generously gives life, breath, and provision to all creatures. From one man he made all the peoples of the earth. He has overseen and ordered their movements and boundaries through all time. The Creator desires for humanity to seek after him and live under his rule, to even touch and find him in the creation. Indeed, the Creator is not far away from each one of us. For through him we receive all life, movement, and being, as even your own philosopher, Aratus, has said, 'We are born and exist through him.' Therefore, because we have received our very existence from the Creator, we must see that he is not contained in human technologies and innovations. The Creator has been patiently overlooking our ignorance as we worship our own intelligence and the work of our hands. But now he is directing all humanity in all places to transform and turn away from this way of life. The Creator is going to judge civilization with true justice according to the standard of Jesus of Nazareth. The Creator confirmed that this man, Jesus, shows us the true way of trusting in him by raising Jesus from the dead." After hearing Paul speak about the dead being raised to new life, most of them began ridiculing him. But some of them said, "We are interested in hearing more from you, even about this supposed resurrection of the dead." Then, just like Jesus had done in Nazareth, Paul was able to walk right through this gathered group without being harmed. Dionysus of the Mars Hill Council, a woman named Damaris, and a few others joined Paul and began living by trust in the Creator. After this trial, Paul left Athens and headed west to Corinth, one of the wealthiest cities in the Roman Empire that was also known for its decadent and immoral lifestyle. Arriving in the city in 51 AD, Paul found a husband and wife who were devoted to the Jerusalem temple, Aquila and Priscilla. They had recently come from Rome after Emperor Claudius ordered all those devoted to the Jerusalem temple to leave the city in 50 AD, after a disturbance arose over claims that Jesus was the Messiah and chosen ruler of the earth. Because all three of them had the same profession as tent makers, Paul began working and staying with them. Every Sabbath, Paul addressed the people in the synagogue, trying to persuade both Israelites and Greeks to follow the way of Jesus. When Silas and Timothy arrived from the province of Macedonia, Paul was re-energized. The word of Jesus drove Paul to even more intensely proclaim to those devoted to the Jerusalem temple that Jesus was the Messiah and chosen ruler of the earth. When they persistently opposed and spoke against him, Paul obeyed Jesus' teachings by shaking the dust off his clothes and saying to them, "You are responsible for your own destruction. I have adequately warned you, and my hands are clean. I'm done with you, and I will now spend my time preaching to non-Israelites." Paul then began staying with a Roman man named Titius Justus, who revered the Creator and whose house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, began trusting the Lord Jesus along with all of his household. This news caused many other people in Corinth to live by trust and be baptized into the way of Jesus. One night, the Lord Jesus came to Paul in a dream and said, "Do not fear. Speak the truth and do not be silent. I am with you, and nothing will harm you in this city because of my people here." So Paul stayed in Corinth for 1 year and 6 months, teaching the Creator's word. While Gallio was the Roman governor of southern Greece, those devoted to the Jerusalem temple collectively opposed Paul and dragged him before the governor, saying, "This man is persuading people to follow the Creator without obeying the law." Before Paul could respond, Gallio said to them, "If this was about some sort of injustice against Roman law, then I would care and listen to you. But if this whole thing is about your law and traditions, then take care of this yourselves. I do not want to waste my time judging such things." Then Gallio drove them out of his court. But they grabbed Sosthenes, who was the new leader of the synagogue, and started beating him up in the governor's sight because of his sympathy to the way of Jesus. But Gallio just walked away and ignored them all. After staying a significant time longer with the community of Jesus in Corinth, Paul finally said goodbye in 53 AD and got into a boat with Priscilla and Aquila. Preparing to return to Jerusalem, Paul cut his hair in order to ritually cleanse himself of his time among the nations and to give thanks for the Creator's protection during his mission work. The boat stopped in Ephesus on the western coast of Asia Minor, where Priscilla and Aquila stayed behind to do the work of the Lord Jesus. During this stop, Paul went into the synagogue to address those devoted to the Jerusalem temple. They asked Paul to stay for a long while, but he refused and said goodbye, saying, "I will come back here in the future, if the Creator allows it." So Paul returned to the boat and left Ephesus. After the boat docked in Caesarea, he traveled to Jerusalem. After embracing the community of Jesus in Jerusalem, he returned to Syrian Antioch, where his journey had begun.